Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as we have seen on previous broadcasts, the great problem involved in salvation is the dilemma of how God can forgive sins without being unjust. How a perfectly holy, always just God can forgive sins, because forgiving a guilty sinner without requiring the just penalty that his guilt demands is in itself inherently an act of injustice. Oh, it's an act of kindness, it's an act of mercy, but it is also an act of injustice. And we deal with these tensions all the time in our world because we are not God, and there's no way that we could ever be both perfectly merciful and perfectly just at the same time. In fact, we can see how that in our world, some people tend to be overly demanding in the sight of justice, and other people are too soft on crime and criminals and are inclined to be merciful at the expense of justice. And this is always the tension. We find that when you are too kind to criminals, that you are not giving sufficient weight to their crimes and their victims. And that's a real problem. How can you let that person go? How can you exact such a small penalty for their crime? You don't understand the enormity of what they did. You didn't feel the pain. You didn't feel the loss. You're not a victim. So how dare you exonerate or go easy on that criminal? You see, what you consider to be an act of kindness to someone else is a great act of injustice. And that's the way it looks to us. And yet, on the other hand, when you find someone who is bent on always exacting perfect justice and is never willing to consider any kind of mercy, then you have the opposite viewpoint, don't you? You have people who say, but be kind to that person, be merciful to that person. Yes, he did wrong, but show a little mercy. And there really is no way in our world, with our human capacity, to be perfectly just and perfectly merciful. We can't balance those two. We always tend to be off balance one way or another, or so it's going to seem to different people from their different perspectives, because it all depends many times on which side of the fence you're on, whether you are a victim or whether you are a perpetrator, whether you are related to a victim and see the enormity of the crime that was committed against them, or whether you're related to a perpetrator and your soft heart wants to see them given another chance, and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth it goes. Well, when we can see that in our world, surely we can begin to see at least dimly some of the problem that is involved with God forgiving guilty sinners. How can God do that? How can God forgive sins without being unjust? Because mercy is inherently unjust unless there's a way to satisfy justice fully and to satisfy our desire for mercy fully. And that's what God has come up with. A justice that is both gracious and holy at the same time, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, as the Bible puts it in Romans 3:26. And so that's what we're going to pursue a little bit further on this Beacon Broadcast of Thursday, May 19, 2005. Now we're talking about the word justify. The Greek word dikao is used for the first time in this passage in Romans chapter 3 in a positive way to explain the work of salvation. It has been previously used, but in other ways. In Romans 1:17, for example, for therein is the righteousness, that's the same word, of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And similarly in chapter 2 and verse 13, in chapter 3 and verse 4, in chapter 3 and verse 20, but now we find the word used in a different way. We find it used in a positive way to explain the work of salvation. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that's the word, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now we need to understand something of this word, just or justify. And we need to understand, first of all, that it is a term out of the world of law. It is a legal term. It is, to use another phrase, a forensic term. It involves a judicial verdict. To declare someone just means to officially judge them or to declare them to be righteous. It is not to make them righteous, you need to understand, in the sense of to make them virtuous, to make them clean, to make them holy. That's another act of God. That is sanctification. And it is true that God always sanctifies those whom he justifies, but we must not confuse the terms, and we must not mix the activities that are going on here. And justification is strictly a judicial or forensic act. It is a declaration of righteousness. It is a legal reality. God declares the sinner just. And as we've already seen, if that's all there were to it, that would seem to be a great act of injustice. How can you declare someone righteous who, in fact, is as guilty as sin? As every sinner is. Black with guilt. How can you say that that person is righteous when the fact of the matter is they're not? Well, that's the whole dilemma here, the problem. But God has a way of declaring the guilty sinner righteous. That's why Christians are both righteous and sinners at the same time. It is not strictly that we were sinners, but we are no longer sinners. The fact of the matter is, as far as our condition is concerned, we both were sinners and are sinners. We are still sinners as far as our nature, as far as our condition, as far as our actions are concerned. But as far as our legal standing is concerned, we were sinners legally before the judgment bar of God. But when by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ we are justified, that is, pronounced just, the legal verdict has been declared, and our legal position has been completely altered. We were legally guilty. We are now legally just, righteous. And that is a declaration. This means that we have been acquitted by God of all charges. And we have been credited by God with a perfect righteousness, which is more than a pardon. It is a reckoning the sinner righteous. And that, of course, is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it is by his righteousness that God is able to declare us righteous when we are in Christ. And when we are credited with Christ's righteousness, and when Christ is willing to serve as the substitute for the sinner, which he does willingly for every sinner who believes in him. Someone has said that to be justified means just as if I'd never sinned. Well, that's true. Legally, that's true. Just as if I'd never sinned. Justification is that gracious act of God whereby, on the basis solely of Christ's accomplished mediatorial work, God declares the sinner just, and the sinner accepts this benefit with a believing heart. Or to give you another definition. That definition, by the way, is the definition of William Hendrickson. Let me give you one by Louis Burkhoff. Justification is a judicial act of God in which he declares, on the basis of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that all the claims of the law are satisfied with respect to the sinner. The law says, you are guilty, and the law is correct. The law says, this is the penalty that is due to you because of your guilt, namely death. And again, the law is correct. And every sinner who does not have a perfect substitute in Jesus Christ is guilty as charged and is under the sentence of death. And justice demands that the sentence be carried out. What hope is there for the condemned sinner? One hope and one hope only, and that hope is found in Jesus Christ. My hope is in the Lord, who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin at Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and ever... Let's see, what's the last part of that song? I shouldn't have forgotten it. But that's the whole idea here, that the sinner is declared righteous because his substitute bore the penalty in his place. And his substitute produced a righteousness which is a perfect righteousness which is imputed to him in his place. And so, this work of justification, which is a legal act, is the work of the Father. The Father it is who justifies. The Son it is who redeems, who propitiates. The Holy Spirit it is who regenerates and sanctifies. And so, justification is a legal act. It is a forensic act. It is a one-time transaction. When we, in true faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are now and forever justified. We are pronounced just, and that pronouncement can never be reversed. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives, and that pardon will never be rescinded. Now, sanctification is a continued act, repeated over and over and over. We are being sanctified continually and repeatedly until we leave this world. But justification takes place one time, once and for all. And when a believing sinner is justified, though he is guilty, nevertheless, legally, he is not guilty, and never can be charged, never can be held guilty, never can be punished for his sins, because he has been pronounced justified before the judgment bar of God, and that was carried out justly, because Christ paid the penalty in the believing sinner's place. And so, God is both just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. What a great salvation. Don't take it for granted. Think about these things, meditate in them, revel in them, and give the glory to God. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.